Hey, everybody, it's Jason. I know you've heard my voice many times in the podcast, and I'm here to tell you about something very interesting coming up. I want to let you know about an incredible opportunity for you to get free tips and strategies to build and monetize your personal brand. My good friend Rory Vaden is a New York Times bestselling author and Hall of Fame speaker, and he and his wife founded a company called Brand Builders Group. And they have put together a huge online summit where they're interviewing some of the most influential personal brands in the world on their never-before-shared secrets of how they became who they are today. So who's speaking at the summit? We've got Lewis Howes, we've got Michael Hyatt, Dennis Rodman, Kevin Harrington, Jay Baer, Donald Miller, and more. This is a rare opportunity for you to hear the stories about how they became New York Times bestselling authors, how they built high-paid keynote speaking careers, how they have grown massive online followings, and exactly what they have done to create large, multi-seven-figure businesses. If you're someone who is looking to create any type of influence, you have to check this out. It's totally free, and you're going to be learning from the masters who've actually done this. So I want you to encourage you to head over to the show notes today, and in the show notes, I'm going to put a link to this summit. Again, completely free. Take a look at it. I feel super confident you will find it valuable. And now, enjoy the episode. All right, everybody. I'm very excited about this episode. This is the first of a series of episodes called Blank is Back. Blank is Back is a series where I've got some amazing guests from my first season that are back to talk to us again so we can hear what they're up to. And without further ado, my guest today is the amazing Jenna Kingsley. Jenna, I think you were on the show. We recorded when I was back in Brooklyn in 2020. So we must have recorded in like February of 2020. February of 2020.
Valentine's Day, to be exact.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I remember what I was doing that day. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. So Jenna is a comic, viral, video viral extraordinaire. She's had multiple videos have millions of views on YouTube. And she is currently the host of Social Studies with Jenna Kingsley, a really, really hilarious podcast. Jenna, yeah. So good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I told you in the email, I prefer the bitch is back rather than
the
Jenna's
bitch is back.
Back.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Well, it's so just a goal. I'm not a bitch, but it is a goal.
It's just that the bitch is back. Elton John would be happy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to start by sharing something with you that I think you're going to be very happy about.
Okay.
I've started watching The Sopranos again because of you.
Come on. Wait, why? Because of me?
I'd only watched it when so it came out in 99. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was in college still, and I've only watched Sopranos once. And I was like, and I finished another show that is my all-time favorite show, Breaking Bad. And I finished that. I'm like, I need to go back and watch another classic. And then I thought about what you once said to me about Dr. Melfi.
Oh, yes. So let's let the listeners in on that inside joke.
We'll let the listeners in. And by the way, I just want to say this for these episodes, they're much more free-flowing. The idea is that I have guests back. I ask you some questions about what's new with you. Mm-hmm. We're going to riff on these episodes. So you're either probably going to love them or you're going to hate them. I'm not going to ask the same questions. So I think some people are going to be like, I'm tuning out. And some people are like, this is going to be way better. So I can't wait to hear the feedback.
This is going to be so good, you guys. This is like the OnlyFans version of talking to cool people.
Except the OnlyFans version that still allows pornography.
And it's free also, by the way.
Which is hilarious that OnlyFans is like, we're going to reduce the one thing that is the reason people come here. And they're like, oh no, wait, we're not going to do that because nobody's here anymore.
That's why Tumblr, got killed because they took away porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Side note.
At the end of the day, I'm sorry.
People
there's some basic
porn,
human,
you guys, bottom
there's some
line,
basic human needs that get met. So yeah, Jenna, why don't you share the Dr. Melfi thing?
So Jason, is my accountability coach.
Yeah. We'll call it accountability coach. Okay. Yeah.
And, I actually started my podcast with the help of Jason. I credit Jason to helping me. I'd wanted to do my podcast for 2 years, and over the pandemic, I didn't know what to do with myself because I couldn't make any videos or anything. And I thought, what better time than to start? But I didn't even know where to start. Enter Jason. I started working with Jason and I started my podcast, Social Studies. But I joke around with him because I like tough love. I need aggressive friggin' love, right? The BDSM of coaching, okay? And I would ask Jason questions and he would sit there silently and say, what do you think? And I said, you're like Dr. Melfi on The Sopranos and I'm Tony Soprano. I need you to just tell me what to do.
Except you, I think your exact words were, I need you to be a coked up version of Dr. Melfi.
A coked up version of Dr. Melfi.
Which is funny because now that I'm watching it again, she's so chill all the time, like to the point.
She's of, you.
Right. But Jenna, do you realize, I'm not going to argue with you, but do you realize that if we're both Tony Soprano, it doesn't work because they're both like fired up all the time. Do you, Tony did not need another Tony Soprano helping him. He needed a Dr. Melfi type.
He needed a Dr. Melfi.
I watched the episode last night where he like broke her table and like got in her face, like scared the heck out of her.
If we did coaching in person, I would have done that to you.
You would have turned her over the table.
I would have flipped a table. You should also know that one of the great loves of my life is
Christopher Montesanti.
Christopher Montesanti remains in my heart forever. One of the great loves of my life.
Do you like Michael Imperioli as like a person, or do you just like his character, Christopher?
I like Christopher.
Or as they call him, Chrissy.
Chrissy. Christopher. Chrissy.
He's such a...
I have terrible taste in TV, man. Like in real life, my boyfriend is unbelievable. One of the best people I've ever met. On TV, my crushes are always the worst people. Like Cobra Kai, Johnny is my...
I don't watch Cobra Kai, but I can imagine that Johnny's not.
Johnny's like a degenerate. He like is like... So there's something wrong with my TV crushes. But TV crushes. I've gotten it together in real life.
You're like, okay, but you've got it together in real life. You like some mobsters and stuff. So Jenna, I think, you know, we're kind of riffing here. I want to start by talking to you about your podcast.
Yeah.
I was on your podcast. You've had other amazing people on your podcast. It's hilarious. And quite honestly, it's kind of crushing it out there. Let's just call it. Jenna's a very humble person, so I'm going to make her uncomfortable here. Tell us about the genesis of the podcast. Where did the idea for social studies come from? What's the concept behind it? And I'll shut up now and give you those two questions. Then I've got some more for you once you've answered those.
So the videos I've done they're kind of social experiments based on the things that we do as people that we don't pay attention to. So I did one, like I did a no selfie zone in Central Park. I did an iPad giveaway, terms and conditions about the things we agree to, but we don't read. I'm kind of obsessed, and I say this in my trailer, with human behavior and the things that we do as people that we don't really pay attention to. And once you shine a light on those things, you're like, oh my God, I never thought about it that way, but it's ridiculous that we do that. So that's the best way to kind of describe what the podcast is. So now I'm able to talk about topics, everything from what I do with clothing I don't wear, because some people throw it out or sell it on eBay. I hate wear it, right? Like I hate it. I hate wear it. Or I just did my first solo episode, and one of the things I talk about are some of the things like the fact that it became a thing to have towels folded into creepy little animal puppets in hotels.
So like, weird.
Why is that a thing? So there's all these observations I make, and I want to know, like, why is that a thing? And that's basically what the podcast is.
Yeah. I think the way I would describe the podcast is, there's definitely an element of kind of the Larry David Seinfeld-esque observational humor, but it's never about, and I say this in the best way, it's never about the big stuff. It's never about the stuff that like, it's like about bodega candy, or it's kind of like a female version in a podcast of a really great Seinfeld episode. Thank where you. There's like, yeah. So that's
someone
that's
wrote the best review. They said it was Seinfeld meets Girls. And I,
right.
That's the greatest thing I could ask for. Because I'm a huge Judd Apatow fan and a huge Seinfeld fan.
Because it's like, when you listen to it, it's kind of like the experience of watching Seinfeld, or for me, like I'm even a bigger Curb fan. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when Larry does a thing, or when you watch a Seinfeld episode, you're like, yeah, you say yeah during your podcast. I'm like, yeah, like this does make, yeah, I do that with that sweater. Like,
exactly.
That person walking down the street does irritate. And you're like, yes.
Yes.
So you're pointing out the things that do it, but you do it in a very, like, in your own flavor of it. Which I think the way you pointed out is much less dry than like a Seinfeld. Yours is much more like filled with like really strong, like Jenna style opinions. It's hilarious. I'm promoting the heck out of you here. It's really funny. So that's the genesis of the podcast. What's been the experience like? And like, how many episodes do you have out now?
You know, that's such a good question.
It's not like, you know, as a fellow podcast host, I'm like, I think I'm on episode 93. I'm not sure.
How do I know that?
I think if I'm not mistaken, well, you can go to wherever it's listed. I think you must have 20 some episodes now.
They're not like numbered. That. I'm beyond 20. I'm in the 30s now.
Yeah. Have you, what's the best part about having your podcast?
For me, the best part about having the podcast is it's a creative outlet. So the reason I started the podcast is my brain is a fucked up place, as you know, from working with me. I need an outlet to put this crazy out there. I used to write a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a blog. I wrote articles. I don't think people know how to read anymore. I know that's not true. people are still writing books, blah, blah, blah. There are newspapers, but I like the idea that people can listen while they drive, listen while they walk, listen while they cook. So it's not the commitment of like sitting down and reading something, which people don't go to blogs to read anymore. I don't think they go to Huffington Post to read stuff unless it's some viral article. But again, how are we even seeing viral articles? Everything's streaming and sound bites and videos. So it's a way just for me to get this stuff out there. And that's how I thrive as a person when I'm creating things that people enjoy. So mm-hmm. for me, mm-hmm. the best part of the podcast, I don't remember the question now.
What's your favorite part about having the podcast?
The best part of the podcast is when someone writes to me, this is a true story. When someone writes to me and says, that is so true. I do that. Or I never thought about it, but that is so true. To me, someone writing back to me what I said and talking about it and identifying with it is the greatest gift any creator could have. You know, like when I did stand up, when people would come back and talk about bits or quote things from my videos, like there's really no better feeling as a creator than when someone identifies and connects with something you said or did.
What are a few of the reviews or emails that you got that have stuck with you what feedback has stuck with you the most?
Honestly, it would be hard to say at this point. It's just people writing to me saying that they binge the whole thing or they can't wait for it to come out or they wish it was longer or they like, you know, it goes so fast. Like, can I come out more than once a week? Or, I don't know. I just am so honored that people are taking my podcasts are about 30, 35 minutes. The fact that they would take that time out of their week to spend it with me and listen to my annoying vocal fry makes me so happy.
Happy. You should be like, makes me so happy. So happy.
So happy.
That's great. I didn't realize vocal fry was a thing for New Yorkers.
I
don't know if you have a vocal fry. Have you been told you have a vocal fry?
Well, yeah. I've been told I have a vocal fry or I have a Hoda and Kathy of Hoda and Kathy Lee made fun of me on the Today Show when my Starbucks video went viral. She was like, Jenna Kingsley has a video. Because she was making fun of my voice. But they still played it on Hoda and Kathy on the Today Show. But I tweeted at her. And I tweeted and I was like, Hoda, I love you. I can't believe you just made fun of my voice. She's like, I love you too. I was just kidding. I was like,
you're like, you were just kidding in front of millions of people and you didn't say you were just kidding.
It's true. So. Look, I am a New Yorker. I am a Jewish New Yorker. I have a certain kind of accent and voice and I'm fine with it. Look at Fran Drescher. And
look at Sheffield.
I don't even sound like that.
No, you don't sound like that.
So
what's the episode that is most memorable to you? Either for being funny, a memorable guest. What's like, because I'm thinking about some of your bits. I'm thinking about some of the bits, like the ones you did early on with your friend and you were talking about like the omelet station at the
hotel. The omelet station.
Hilarious. Cause it's like, so identifiable is like the, it's
we like, all know the friggin' omelet station.
The omelet station. It's like, I'm going to get, let me try and summarize this. I'm probably going to screw this up. It's been a while, but you go to the buffet at a nice hotel and they have the buffet and you go in through and you get your stuff. And then you're standing there and there's the woman or the man who makes you an omelet, and you feel so privileged and so terrible about yourself that there's somebody making an omelet for you. You're like, I'll take a little bit of the green chives and some of the bacon. It's so awkward. Sometimes
I want to be like, I could do it myself. Like, I feel bad making you do this. Like, you're like standing there like a loser. You're like, and onions and tomatoes. I don't know. I just find it very embarrassed. I get awkward easily. Yeah. I feel awkward all the time. And the omelet person, for some reason, just really makes me uncomfortable. But I go to the omelet, obviously.
Yeah. Well, because they're making you an omelet. Like,
what's or the pasta man.
Yeah. What's so funny about you is you're like a successful New Yorker who's also extremely humble. Like, you don't, like, you're like, you could do these things, but you like feel bad about all of them. You don't want people to like, at least my experience, you don't want people to serve you or have to feel subservient to you. You want to become their friend.
First of all, I just want to say, I love that you think I'm successful, because I'm just really a loser. But I don't feel comfortable when people do things for me. Yeah. That makes me.
We've talked about that. Yeah. But you'll like literally go to the mat for somebody else. But then if somebody's like, hey, Jenna, could I buy you a cup of coffee? You're like, no. I can't.
That's why I'd be just, we've talked about this. I'd be a terrible salesperson, because I don't like to ask. I would end up being like, you know what? Just get out of this store. Don't buy anything here. Just go.
Either that, or you'd be like, this sweater looks so good on you. Just take it. Just, it's fine. Just
take it.
You don't have to spend the money.
Take it.
So Jenna, what else is up? Like, what else is going on with you since we last, when we talked in February of 2020, Valentine's Day, as you educated me on, I should know this, no podcast, no pandemic. I mean, there was a pandemic. We just didn't know it yet.
It was like a thing. In denial. We're like, that's not like in Asia. Like, we don't have like,
COVID.
Oh, it's like Wuhan. Fun. It's so far away.
Yeah, Wuhan. Like, yeah. Yo. So Jenna, last time I talked to you, I don't remember if you were single or about to be single, but now my understanding is you've got somebody new in your life. What's going on with that?
I have a lovely, amazing boyfriend. I honestly have the best boyfriend, and I feel lucky to have him. I talk about him on the podcast. You know, I did an open about him. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's one of my favorite opens. And he's awesome. And I have to say, for as terrible as this pandemic has been, because it's fucking horrible, and we're not going to see the end for a long time, I feel. I had a pretty good 2021. I created my podcast. It went to a network. I fell in love. My son is applying to colleges, so let's circle back and hope he gets in and I think the downtime of the pandemic forced us all to look within and take stock, right, of our lives and like what we were going to tolerate going forward and what we were going to do differently and what we wanted to get done and what was important. And so I did a lot of work on myself during that time. Like, I went to therapy. I started working with you. I have specialists for all my crazy. And it shows. I think doing the work, it's kind of like going to the gym, right? Like, you're not going to get in shape if you don't go to the gym regularly. So yeah. I have been really on top of my stuff. And I think it facilitated a lot of changes in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to ask you something about that.
And you moved away. You moved.
Temporarily.
Do you really think you're ever coming back here?
I think so. We were talking about this yesterday. We miss New York a lot. We think so. No commitments, but you know what? We don't have to make a decision, which is nice.
You don't. And you know what's nice? No. Your kids are so young and so cute. My God. But they're so young that the nice thing is you have the freedom to live there for a couple years until they start in school or whatever.
Right.
Right.
It's funny you say that. We put our daughter on the bus for the very first time today.
I saw. Did she like it?
She loved it. But I, you know, for any parent that's out there listening, and I don't know how this was for you, mm-hmm. watching your five-year-old, who you still kind of see as like a little fragile baby in certain ways, like she's not a baby anymore. But when you see her climbing onto the bus and finding her own seat and sitting down, you're like, damn. I don't get emotional easily. And I was like, I get it. I get it why parents, when kids go off to school. And so I wanted to actually ask you.
Cause now my kid's going to go off to college.
Right. Like, have you had this experience with your son as he goes through school every year? Does it, like, I feel like kindergarten is one time. Is it like a high school thing, a junior, like when, for you as a mom, when did it hit you that like, oh damn, this dude's growing up? He's still my baby, but he's not a baby. That's kind of the feeling I have.
This year
specifically. Yeah.
You know what? I'm my son's an only child. I am a single mom. Well, I'm divorced and I'm super amicable with my ex-husband. So it's not like,
And you have a hashtag about divorce too. Let's just be clear.
Yeah. Divorce is forever. Cause we do spend a lot of time together and we did quarantine together during the pandemic.
God, I wish there was cameras for that.
I know.
That'd been amazing.
But the thing is, I feel like I am fortunate to have a very close relationship with my son, even through his teenage years. Like a lot of times teenagers take off, do their thing. My son has his friends, but we have a very close relationship. So, and part of it's just the dynamic, you know, like it's just the two of us in this house, you know, and he has a really cool mom. Who's fun.
Yeah. Like his mom's a comedian. Like how many kids get to say that?
By the way, one of the greatest senses of humor I've ever heard. So
does he have good delivery, good timing?
Like, insane. Good timing, so good. Good delivery. He gets the joke. Like sometimes I'll look at him and he knows exactly what I'm laughing about in my brain.
Yeah.
So he gets the joke. He's applying to colleges now and I've been touring colleges. And when his senior year began and I cried so hard when he walked out the door the first day of school, I took a picture of him. I did the picture, you know, I just was ugly crying about it for days because the thing about college is they leave your house.
Yeah.
And then God willing, get a job and live on their own. So really it's different. Like he's gone off to camp programs for a couple weeks, you know, sure. And you're like, okay, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. And then you drink yourself unconscious and party for a couple of weeks and then they come back. But college is a huge adjustment. And so I'm going to be a friggin' empty nester, a hot one, by the way, but an empty nester. I always thought the empty nesters look like the Golden Girls. And I got to say, they don't. I am the face.
You're the new Rue McClanahan, whatever their names are.
I don't know their names, but I am. Well, I know Betty White. Yeah,
Betty White, of course. Yeah.
I am. I don't think I look like them.
I would say no. I don't. So Jenna's wearing a cult leader sweatshirt. I don't remember any of the Golden Girls wearing that.
I want to tell you a story about this sweatshirt.
I'd love to hear the story about it. But let's save it. I want to finish up this part. So kind of back to the relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Any stepkids going on there?
My boyfriend has two kids.
Mm, okay.
And so, and they are adorable and lovely. And it's just, he's just the best guy because we're so opposite in many ways. Like he's definitely not, I mean, you know me. He's more quiet. He's more reserved, but he's a good time. Like he's definitely a good time. But he handles my crazy so well that it's one of the things that made me love him so much because he just is unfazed by my crazy in such a good way. You know what I mean? Like he's so even and so great. I can't say enough about him.
So would it be fair to say that he's the Dr. Melfi to your Tony Soprano?
I would say he could be the Dr. Melfi. He's probably my Carm to my Tony Soprano.
Oh, yeah.
No, but he's not as whiny as Carm. I love Carm, but he's not
so
like
whiny.
She's whiny, but she's always like, Bellamy. I love Carmella.
I should cut your dick off.
If I had to say it, he'd be my Christopher. But without the gang and the mafia and the drug addict and the
and the insane temper and the inability to have any sort of empathy for anybody besides Adriana or his crew.
What I can say about this relationship, and this is the first time I've really been able to say this. I mean, other than, you know, I probably my ex-husband, I felt this way about, but at some point, but I feel lucky to have him. And there's a, that's a major thing. Like I remember someone gave a speech at my wedding 476 years ago. And he was like, in a great relationship, each person feels like the lucky one. And I think we both feel like the lucky one. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Amazing. That's super cool. Well, congratulations. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you so
That's
much.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. I was wondering as well about, this is a Dr. Melfi style question. I want to go back to what you said about coaching and therapy, and you've had a pretty good 2021. You've been working on yourself a lot. What's the biggest, I don't know if call it a breakthrough, but like, what's the thing that you're like, oh wow, like through working on myself and by the reading, I'm not saying like coaching, therapy, whatever the thing is that generated something in you, like what's the biggest difference you've made in your own life?
Understanding that I am the driver of the bus. So rather than let life happen to me, I finally have an understanding that I am the one that's going to make it happen. You know, all of my videos I did that went viral, I made them because I wanted to make them. Then I got a little stagnant. This is one of the things I've discussed with Jason many times. I got stagnant because I started listening to my agents or my producers or my... And I started feeling like I needed to seek someone else's okay for my work rather than just have it be something that I wanted to do. And I think even in relationships, it became like not about what I wanted in my relationships. It just all like, and then finally I had this understanding through all of my 800 specialists that you are the only person that can make a change in your life. You want to make a podcast, you have to sit down and make it. No one's going to bring you a podcast.
Right.
No one is going to sit down every week and do it for you. You want to be in a healthy relationship, you have to choose a partner that wants the exact same kind of healthy relationship. Like all of these things are, you know, like it's, like I said, it's about like going to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm not so great about it, but I want to be better. Sometimes I'm great about it. I've been kind of lazy right now because it's summer. But if you want friggin' a big booty, like a big Brazilian booty, you got to do squats consistently. I want that booty. I do. I hate doing squats. And guess what? This isn't a story about my booty because I don't do the squats. So I don't have the Kardashian booty that I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'd also need plastic surgery for.
That's what I was going to say. You know, on a total aside to this, Kirsten, my wife, was just showing me a picture of, I think it was Khloe Kardashian. I'm like, that doesn't look natural. She's like, no, this is like $1 million in plastic surgery. I guess is she a big topic now because she looks so unlike what she looked like a few years ago?
She looks nothing how she looked. It's actually sad. It's
very sad.
Kind of sad. It's kind of like the Michael Jackson situation. Like it's just, when does it end? Right. Like what's good enough? Everyone's trying to look like a filter, literally.
Right.
Like a filter. And it's awkward.
It's very awkward. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Jenna. I like what you said about, it's like we talk in this in coaching. I know we talk a little bit about this. It's like taking ownership, and nobody is ever going to be invested in what you're up to as yourself, like no matter what. And I don't care if it's a relationship, it's a podcast, it's a new job, making more money. Like there's nobody on the planet who's going to care about that more than you if you choose to care about it. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody who has more power to do that than yourself.
Correct.
At the end of the day.
And so that's why having an accountability coach like Jason was a big deal for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you also have a good therapist, which you've had on your podcast twice, I believe.
No, just once.
You mentioned her multiple times, though.
Oh, I talk about her all the time. My shrink thinks I'm sane and other lies I tell myself. That's the title of that episode. But she's great. She has a big Instagram following. You guys at New York NY Therapist. She's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. What would you say to anybody who's listening right now who either wants to break into comedy and do stand up and, or I've got three parts here, break into comedy or do comedy in front of people live, because the comedy clubs are open again in the city, to become a content creator. And I'm talking about like videos or blog, that type of thing. And three, do a podcast. What would you, for people listening out there that are like, hey, I want what Jenna does, what would you recommend, or what advice would you give?
I would recommend find a different job, find a different career. That's, if we're being completely honest, no. If you want to do stand up, the best way to go about doing it is you have to go to open mics. You have to just get up there as much as possible. You have to write your material. You have to go test it at open mics, which are the most painful thing of all time. And then eventually comics get onto these bringer shows. It's a path. It's a long path. Success does not come overnight. And then what was this? The second one?
People want to create content. They want to do videos. They want to do blogs. That sort of, those sort of things.
My best piece of advice is to just create it. The hardest thing about being a creator is doing it. Is like you can have an idea. It's kind of like an entrepreneur. You can have these great ideas. You can have these great inventions. Most people don't do it. They just have the idea and they don't execute it. And so for me, I was writing for magazines and publications or whatever, and I kept pitching for so long. I would pitch these social experiments. I wanted to do them and write about them. And all the magazines were like, no one would like that. No one. And then I was like, no, but it would be so great. We could like document it. So I did one on my blog. I wore this blanket around New York. It's a long story. But the first video I made, I shot thinking nobody would see it. When I shot that Starbucks video, it was for a sizzle for a show I wanted to pitch. And I didn't think anyone would see it. And I woke up the next morning and I was on the news. I put it on YouTube and I was on the news because it went viral. Interesting side note, I shot a video. Before I shot that video, we were just testing our cameras. And I went onto the New York City subway and I bought strippers. And I got on the subway and I don't know if you ever saw this one, but I got on the subway and I pretended I was like just a street performer. And I was like, if you like what you see, and I'm in the subway cart, I'm like, put your hands together. And I play this little boom box and I start awkwardly dancing, like doing the robot.
Never saw that.
All of New York, nobody's paying attention. All of a sudden, when the music hit a certain cue, I had three strippers on the subway. They threw their jackets off. They got on the poles and they started to dance.
That's amazing.
This was before I knew anything about content creation. So I didn't know that you had to own the music when you put it on YouTube.
Yes.
I put it on YouTube. It had no music. It got to like 10,000 views. Then it had no music, kind of fell flat because they took the music away.
Oh, YouTube stripped out the music.
So it was silent. No one wants to watch.
Got it. Yeah. So YouTube will just do that. I didn't know that.
If you don't own the rights, you have to prove when you like all my videos, I use music that we buy and you have
to license it. Sure.
Certificate.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but they gave me my music back recently. And now that video has gone viral. It is currently going viral. It's now at 500,000 views. I wake up to 100 emails a day, people commenting. And let me just make a social observation here. The people that comment on the subway stripper video, very different than the social networking in real life group. Very different. Totally different viewers. But that's anyway, awesome. Yeah. So you could go watch that.
So they're Googling strippers, New York subway.
I keep responding in the comments. There must be thousands and thousands of comments, but I'll write to someone like, can you tell me where you saw it? Because I don't know how after 7 years it's going viral.
Yeah, it must be getting suggested and people keep clicking.
Yeah, what's happening here? But I wake up every day with comments, and it's the weirdest thing.
That's
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, the advice there is just go do your thing and trust that it's going to work. Yeah.
Do your thing. Just do it. Don't overthink it. Just do it. You know, when I made my podcast, literally, you guys, Jason sat with me on Zoom, had me record a trailer and upload it while he was on Zoom. Had I not done that, I might not have ever had my podcast.
And then we'd be talking about other stuff here.
That's a true story. Right. I'd be like, my knitting, I'd be the worst knitter. I don't have the patience. Although
I think I don't know who'd be a worse knitter, you or me. I think it would be an equally terrible knitting situation. That is like my hell.
It's hell. I lose count. I make knots. But you know what I'm really into now is fly fishing.
Yeah, fly fishing's cool.
I want to be like a professional fly fisherman.
I can see that. Do you have the boots?
I want to get them.
The boots keep you from slipping and dying in the stream.
Pants, boots.
Yeah, the waders.
Yeah. I find it really super relaxing and fun.
It is very relaxing. So I want to ask you about one thing you learned about the podcast, and I have a way that I think you'll enjoy wrapping up the episode for today.
And I do want to tell the story about my sweatshirt.
Yes. And we want to hear the story about the cult leader sweatshirt. So podcasting, very popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do it. We're on a podcast right now.
Yes.
What advice would you have for somebody who wants to start a podcast? Or what was your biggest learning from the last 8 months of starting your podcast?
I'm still learning. I learn every day. And that's the truth. I'm constantly asking for feedback from people because I want to know what's working, what's not, what people are identifying, what's not. I think, you know, my favorite episodes are with my friends who have no following. They don't even have an Instagram.
Your one friend is like, doesn't believe in anything. She has good.
My friends are so miserable. Those are my favorite episodes. If you ask me, what are your favorite episodes? They would be like, I was raised by a bodega. It was a date sweater. Now it's a hate sweater. Is Dracar Noir still a thing?
Yeah.
Those were with my friends. I think my friends are hilarious. Mm-hmm. And to me, finding the balance between keeping your podcast authentic versus growing it is very difficult, is what I've found, because there's a part of me that feels like I have to have these bigger guests on. And sometimes you have them on and it's just not the interview you wanted to have. It's not the episode you wanted. You don't even want to air it. So, and the truth is, it really does not move the needle.
Yeah. I've actually read that a lot in the podcasting world, that having a famous person on a podcast when you're not famous doesn't actually do anything for your pod. Like, it may be for that episode. Like, okay. So maybe if like I had Dwayne Johnson on here or something, or like LeBron James, people would probably listen to that, but it's not like people go, oh, I like this podcast. They go back and listen to the other 89 episodes. I've heard that repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's way more important is you put out good content over time.
That's, to me, that's like what I'll always know, as it's my podcast, I always know I'm going to release it, but it doesn't to me feel in line with what I want this podcast to be.
Yeah.
I think what keeps people coming back is the host and what you're doing. And so I would say, to answer your question, I'm learning constantly. I still am not where I want to be. It's not as tight as I want it to be, but it's getting there. You know, I've introduced some new segments, like Don't Hate Me is a segment people really like. Every week I do a segment, Don't Hate Me, where I say something that I know is going to upset people.
You speak in my language.
And I don't want them to hate me, but I'm going to tell them.
It's funny because you really don't want them to hate you.
I really don't want them to hate me.
Knowing Jenna does not like people hating her. That is not
like
a thing.
I did a Don't Hate Me about White Lotus. People are going crazy for this show, White Lotus. And
this is a Seinfeld thing again. This is like the Elaine Benes when she didn't like The English Patient. Did you ever see that episode?
Yes.
And
yes,
no, you're and everybody's right. like, oh my God, it won Best Picture. She's like, I just don't get it. I don't like it. And people like got mad at her.
I think people are faking now. I actually think people are like, I think there's this thing that happens, and I think it happened with Hamilton also, by the way. And I love the music from Hamilton. I love the soundtrack.
You can't hate Hamilton. If you hate Hamilton, you're ostracized from society.
But I'm going to say something that a lot of people won't admit. When I saw it on Broadway and I knew every word to the soundtrack, I love that soundtrack. I could listen to that soundtrack on steady repeat all the time. When I saw it on Broadway, guess what? I couldn't follow the show. I was a little lost. I didn't know history the way I should have known it. And they're rapping. And I was like, I don't know what this show is about. There, I said it. I said what a lot of people are not saying.
Everybody listening, said it. Don't hate Jenna for saying that.
Don't hate her. Actually, I think they'll like me for that. I'm not saying I didn't like Hamilton. I friggin' love Hamilton. Love, love, love. But I think it's more complicated to understand than people are.
You're just speaking your truth, which is goes back to the advice that I think most people that create content give and you just gave is like, just be yourself. Because if you're trying to be like some other weird influencer and you're not famous, it's not going to go well.
No. People,
it's going to be like, you're trying to be like Kendall Jenner and you look like an idiot.
Like, by the way, I would look like a full idiot if tomorrow I was like, I'm a model now. People would be like, what?
for anxiety.
I'm a model for anxiety.
For cult leader sweatshirts.
I'm going to end on this story.
Well, I don't want to quite end on this story.
We're not ending.
We're not going to quite end, but I do want to hear. Okay. So I have a question for you. Then we're going to end on the cult leader sweatshirt story, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
I'm not asking permission. It's my show. This is what we're going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I caught myself asking for permission. So Jenna, what's the thing that annoys you the most right now in society?
I wouldn't even know where to start, but can I say something controversial?
Absolutely. Please.
I am really angry at the people who are anti-vax.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. I really have not come right out and said that, but.
Okay. Jenna's like, it's Jason's audience. I don't care.
I don't give a shit.
She's like, I'm going to bomb your show.
I'm going to bomb your show. No. I respect everyone being able to make their own decisions about their body.
Yeah.
If you're going to be outspoken about the vaccine, you should be outspoken about the law in Texas that women can't have abortions now. Okay. Yeah. That makes me angry about society. Okay. That makes me angry. You're going to talk about my body, my choice. Let's talk about my body, my choice. It should apply across the board. And I want to hear those people just as active. The reason it makes me upset about society is there have been a number of pandemic-y things, smallpox, da, da, da. We take that. You vaccinate your kids. I'm sure. I don't know, but I'm assuming.
They
need vaccines.
They have to go to school. She has to.
I had vaccines. You had vaccines. My son has vaccines. What makes me crazy is the people that are spreading this information are not doctors, and they are learning from QAnon Facebook groups. There, I said it. I'm sorry, guys. If you want to not listen to my podcast now, that's fine. And you can hate me. You can hate me. But the reason that there's these breakthroughs is we didn't have enough immunity because a lot of people won't get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I'm upset with the way that the pandemic is dividing people and making it like vaccine versus not. By the way, you don't want to get the vaccine. Like, I don't hate you for that. I don't hate you. And I respect why, and I respect it. You don't want to vaccinate your children. Like, I would never risk that, but like, you want to do that? Well, great. What I don't like about society is that we are so divided over such important topics that we need to come together on for this to go away.
That's right.
That's what I hate. There. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
That's what I hate.
I find that's more than an annoyance. That's actually, I know Jenna fairly well in certain ways. That's a serious Jenna. That's not a side of you.
I realize like I should have gone with something like.
You're like, the guy was walking too slow in front of me on the sidewalk. No, you're like,
I should have gone with something, but.
No, that was good.
Here's my thing. And I walk this line on my podcast now because I do have a comedy podcast. I would be remiss to not mention what the reality of our world is right now.
Yeah, of course.
Last night I went to Madison Square Garden. There was an unbelievable comedy show. Let me tell you the lineup. Bill Burr.
Oh, wow.
Dave Chappelle. John Mulaney. Amy Schumer. Wanda Sykes. Michael Che. Tom Segura. Dave Attell. Pete Davidson. It was the craziest thing. It was for September 11th.
Was this at the main arena or at Radius or at the main
stadium? You had to be vaxxed to get in. John yep. Stewart actually made a really funny joke about how like the vaxxed life, like now it's kind of like this weird caste system. Like yeah. We're all able to go to this show.
Totally.
But all the comics there were like this was an issue. Like you got to bring up what is happening in the world right now. Because we feel like, act like
I haven't heard, I feel like Dave Chappelle would have a lot to say about this topic based on what I know of Dave Chappelle from being a fan for so long. This feels like a topic he has a lot of strong opinions about.
He had a lot of strong opinions. And Bill Burr, wow, Bill Burr.
He ripped the new asshole.
Bill Burr really went in on the women's movement in a way that was really surprising to me. But wow. The winner in my mind was Dave Attell. His yep. set was, and Colin Quinn, believe it or not, their sets were my two favorite sets. And my favorite person in that lineup is Dave Chappelle, but those were my two favorite sets.
And I've seen Dave Attell and Colin Quinn between the two of them at least 15 times each at the Comedy Cellar over the last 15 years. They're there all the time. They used to be at least.
Dave Attell did a set that was so up my alley on something so simple, such a social studies topic. It was on the recorder. That was his whole set. We all learned to play the recorder. What's the purpose? Like, was it like supposed to be some sort of like, okay, now everyone come out with their recorders. Like it was so funny that that was his topic. And that was a social studies topic. And now that's I want to awesome. Try to get him on my show.
Last thing on this, John Mulaney was just up here at Bethel Woods last Friday.
Yeah.
And we didn't go, but I got an email from Bethel Woods because I go to other concerts there. And I guess either John requested this or there's a technology or something. You couldn't bring your phone in. Like they had like a
last night at the Garden. Phone. Mm-hmm.
So what is that? There's some service that like locks your phone somewhere. Doesn't
so
it?
Every time I've seen Dave Chappelle, he makes you lock your phone.
Where do you lock it?
They give you a pouch.
Yeah.
That's like made of like neoprene.
Yeah.
You put your phone in it.
Yeah.
They use some tool. They lock it. And then you go in, you have your phone in a pouch, you can't touch it, use it. And then
you have your phone on your way out.
Yeah. On your way out, by the door, they're unclicking. And he caught someone filming and he got him kicked out of the audience and he went in. He went in on them.
I love it.
You know what? It's great for so many reasons. But one, comics really work on their material for their specials or whatever. And you don't want that stuff leaked out.
No.
That's number one.
No.
Number two, you want freedom to say things. The things they were saying in that room, if those were on the internet, they might get in big trouble. So there was just like, it was great. And you're like everyone could just enjoy the show and not be annoying with their phones.
What was so funny, I saw this announcement on Instagram for John Mulaney, and you can imagine some of the comments and somebody's like, this is the effing United States of America. You can't tell me what to do with it. And Bethel Woods was funny. They're like, actually we can. It's a private venue. It's our place. This is our policy. And our artist tonight, John, this is the request. And therefore, this is the thing that you're going to do if you want to come. If you don't want to come, we'll give you a refund.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
That's so dumb.
You can't tell me what to do, but you can't bring your phone into a show. You're not entitled.
Madison Square Garden is a privately held organization, a privately held place that has rules. They can say, you need to be vaccinated. They can say, and you can't use your phone, and they can do that. And people that are like, this is America. You can't tell me what to do. You're like, in your private home, there are some things, but when you step out into the public or you step into these other places, we actually can.
Yeah.
Just cracks me up.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Oh man, I'm jealous though. That is a hell of a good lineup.
Can I tell you, it was such a good night.
Did you go with your boyfriend?
I did. I went with my boyfriend, my son's best friend.
So good.
It was just amazing, honestly. And I was so psyched because my son loves stand-up. I was so psyched that he got to see all of those people. Like I couldn't take him to enough shows though, so he'd see all those people.
Yeah. That's some comedy gods in there.
Yeah.
All right, Jenna, last thing, cult leader.
Okay. Here's my story about this sweatshirt.
And can I describe this for everybody? Jenna has a black sweatshirt on and she's got like some nice jewelry. And then it's just like a very plain, like Helvetica cult leader in white on a black sweatshirt. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This sweatshirt I love. I got it in LA. I got my master's in forensic psych. As you know, I studied a lot of cults. I'm just obsessed with cults and creepy shit, which is why I'm in comedy. Anyway, I was working on Michael Moore's show. He had a show on TNT. I was in the writer's room. He ended up not making the show because he went to make a Trump documentary instead. So he like put the show on hold. It never came back. They had said to me, Michael would like to meet with you. Because he wanted to meet me. I was one of the writers. And I had met him in the writer's room, but he wanted to meet me. So they're like coming to his office at 1 o'clock. It was summer. I was wearing a t-shirt. And I used to just grab a sweatshirt before I'd leave because it's freezing in offices. In the summer, they put that air conditioning so high. Yeah. I walk into Michael Moore's office thinking it's just me and Michael. We're just going to be like BFF. But no, the showrunner was in there, the producers, the directors, the... You name it. There was like 15 people watching our conversation and I was intimidated, which rarely happens. And I'm in my t-shirt and his office is so cold. So midway through the conversation, I grab my sweatshirt, not realizing which sweatshirt I brought with me. And I put this cult leader sweatshirt on. And Michael Moore looks at me and he goes, I like your sweatshirt. What's that about? And it came to me so quick. And I said to him, you know what they say, Michael, dress for the job you want, not the job you
want. Oh my God.
And he loved me from that moment on. Anyway, that's what this sweatshirt reminds me of. And that's my story about this sweatshirt.
Yeah. I feel like you just did the perfect end of your comedy routine and then talked past it.
I know.
You did. No, because like that would, no, I'm kidding. That would be a great end to a set though. You're like, and you wear that on the thing and you say, and this is the thing, dress for the job you not. Want just the job. I'm Jenna Kingsley. Good night. Da, 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 da.
Have a good night. Follow me on Instagram.
Yes. Well, Jenna, thanks for coming back.
I will come anytime. You know, I love talking to you. You're one of my favorite people. I love
you. You have great taste. You have spectacular taste. Congratulations on the love life. Congratulations on the podcast. Congratulations on, I was going to say little man, but he's not little. He's big. He's big man. Big man on the college things.
Wish
us luck. We all, myself and everybody else here listening, will wish you the best of luck. And we will have you back again very soon. Thank you again for being on.
Can I plug something?
You can plug whatever you'd like.
You guys feel free to follow me on Instagram at Jenna Kingsley, JenaKingsley. And please take a listen to Social Studies with Jenna Kingsley. It's a podcast that you could find on your favorite podcast platform.
Our podcast platform.
Jason is on it. Go listen to his episode.
We had a hilarious time.
Prove you're not a robot.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Prove you're not a robot. Last thing I want to say here, since this is much more free form than my normal format, for those who have stuck around with Jen and I, which I hope there's at least one person who stuck around. Who knows? They're here for Jen and not for me, obviously. I'd love to hear your feedback. Do you like this format? Do you want more of this? Because I have a whole bunch of people who want to come back on. And I have said, let me have some people on that I really want to talk to. Not that I don't want to talk to everybody, but I knew Jenna would be an entertaining guest. So
I want more of this. I want more of this.
Yeah, but you're like an improver like me. The whole thing with this, my podcast, it's such a great personality test. And you've probably seen this on your podcast too. Some people are like, so what are we talking about? Where are the questions? How long is it going to be? And they want to know like every detail. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like, I'm like, so did you read the questions? They're like, no. And they just like show up and just make it happen.
Yeah.
I've had some mixed results with both of those.
Mm.
But it's so apparent what people's natural personalities are about those things. But I think you and I are both like, hey, let's show up on a podcast and we'll make some magic happen or we'll have some fun. And if nobody listens to it, we don't really give enough. So
exactly.
All right, Jenna, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking to Cool People with Jason Frizzell. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell your friends, follow us on Instagram and Facebook and give us a shout out. Or take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. If something from today's episode piqued your interest and you'd like to connect, email us at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com. We love hearing from our listeners because you're cool people too.